Confessions of a Troll by Artemis Greenleaf. Chapter 4, Chaise Lance, wherein the goodly stripling hosts a party. Not long after we got home from church, I got a chance to use the computer. I went to FaceSpace and clicked through my friends on the site. Lance Friedmeier's parents were out of town. Again. They went off to Europe and left him home with the housekeeper, Flo. She would conveniently be spending the night away from the house on Friday night. Lance would be having a party. Everyone was invited. Lots of alcohol, food that didn't come from the super Walmart, and most importantly, no adults. I told Mum that I was going to hang out with some friends at Lance's on Friday night. I kind of neglected to mention the no adult supervision part. So it wasn't exactly untrue. But that was the only good part of Sunday. Dad hadn't slept more than an hour at a time since his car accident. Mum made lunch, but she was almost falling asleep while we ate. She asked Miranda to look after Dad while she had a nap. Dad looked like he was having a panic attack. He was breathing hard and twitching all over. He rocked himself back and forth, making a sound. I went to get Mum, but when I got to the door, I heard her crying into her pillow. I left without knocking. Miranda, why don't we take Dad out for a walk outside? Is that what Mum said to do? Yes, I lied. I didn't want to argue about it. She and I wrestled him into his wheelchair. She picked up her American history textbook, and we pushed him outside into the backyard. It was warm, maybe 80 degrees, and there was a little breeze from the north. Yellow cloudless sulphur and iridescent black swallowtail butterflies patrolled the flower beds. Mum had planted the yard so that there was something blossoming all the time, a throwback to her Heritage Center horticulturalist days. I parked Dad under a tree and Miranda pulled up a lawn chair. She took out her book and started reading to him. He stopped rocking and moaning, but he was still twitchy. I went back into the house. I couldn't think of anything I really wanted to do. I'd do my homework later, as much later as possible. I decided to go ride my bike. As I pulled out of the driveway, I saw Candace in her front yard. She saw me and went inside. Smooth move, Ex-Lax, I said to myself, almost out loud. I cycled around to nowhere in particular for about an hour. I went home and Dad had fallen asleep in his wheelchair. There was no sound coming from Mum's room, so I figured she was asleep. Monica was doing her homework. Everyone else was out. For lack of anything better, I did my own homework. When it was finished, Mum and Dad were still asleep. I called up Steve. No answer. I decided to check in at Congressman McCardle's website. I found the thread I created. My text had been deleted by the mod, and there was a graphic of a little monster holding up a sign that read, "Please do not feed the trolls." I tried to log in, but I had been banned. I started to look for another site when I heard the back door open. "Kai, you in there?" It was my sister. Dad must have woken up. I closed the browser and skimmed down the stairs. I helped Miranda get him inside. He seemed more relaxed since his outdoor nap. Mum heard us and came out of her room. "Thanks," she said, her voice husky from sleep. She went into the kitchen to make dinner. On Monday, Candace still avoided me. Steve wouldn't stop needling me about it. When I got to work, Mr. McBride had called a meeting. He said that the economy wasn't doing so well. That meant people weren't spending money on their homes and gardens. That meant about half of us were going to get laid off. He was very sorry. I picked up my final check. I wasn't sorry to lose the job, but I was bummed about losing the cash from it. Nothing much happened on Tuesday, except that we got rid of that skanky red van conversion and got something that looked a lot better. It was still a van, but at least it didn't look like a sleazoid blast from the past. On Thursday, Candice still avoided talking to me, but she would at least look at me now. Steve started to let up. He invited me over for an Alien Shock Force VR evening. No risk, he promised. By the time we killed the second stage boss and got to the flamethrower, I had to go. "Hey, you're going to Lance's?" he tugged at the edge of his sleeve. That's another thing that made him seem a little weird. He only wore long sleeves, even when it was 100 degrees outside. "Yeah, you?"
"Yeah, stop by on the way."
"Sure." Friday night finally came. Lance liked to get started early and told the peeps to show up any time after 6. Mum said I could go after supper, but I had to be back before midnight. Steve's house was on the way to Lance's, so I knocked at his door around 8, and we biked the rest of the way together. It was maybe a mile to Lance's gated subdivision. The guard was only at the front entrance. The back one was closer anyway. Lance had posted the gate codes on FaceSpace. We heard music throbbing out of the house as we came up the walkway.
"Hey, don't forget to act like you've got some class," Steve said to me as we stepped onto the front porch.
I slapped the back of his head. He knocked on the door and Lance opened it before Steve had even finished, like he had been standing there waiting for someone. His face fell when he saw us. When we stepped through the door, I could see why. A dozen or so guys sprawled around the way oversized living room. "Welcome to the sausage party," said Zach from my English class.
"Keg's out back, everything else is in the kitchen,"
Lance said, gesturing towards a doorway to his left. NBA players ran and jumped, almost life-sized, on the monster projection TV. The sound was off, but the commentator's words crawled across the screen in white-on-black letters. We walked into the kitchen. They could probably have opened a restaurant in their enormous breakfast nook. Ice chests with girl drinks, like wine coolers and fruit juice, lined one wall. Bottles of rum, tequila, whiskey and vodka covered the kitchen table. A few open bags of chips and some dips and stuff I didn't recognize sat on the polished granite countertop. I grabbed a handful of blue corn chips on the way out the back door. There were 3 guys outside arguing about football. One of them was Candace's cousin, Jared. Jared was out of the closet. Way out of the closet. And a sickening thing was, all the girls were nuts about him. I thought if I could pull it off, I'd pretend to be gay and allow myself to be converted by hordes of females. I wonder if Jared knew who Candice was going to the prom with. Those two were pretty tight. He'd probably tell me if I wanted to torment myself and ask him.
"Mordecai, Stephen,"
Jared called to us and started over.
"I'll be right back," he said to Griff and Tony, the football fanatics he had been yammering with.
"What's up, Jared?" I asked.
Steve just nodded at him, almost like he was afraid he'd get cooties or something if he got too friendly with Jared.
"Let me show you how to work this keg. It's a bit temperamental."
Jared guided us over to the wrought iron deck table. The keg crouched in a big tub of ice in the middle, and a column of plastic cups tilted crazily nearby, next to a roll of paper towels. Steve and I each took a cup and faced the silver barrel, which dripped sweat in the muggy evening. A thick white tube stuck out of the keg with a little nozzle thing on the end.
"Ah, would you look at that?"
Jared's hands were on his hips.
"What was that crazy Lance thinking? These are imported Italian flagstones. You can't just treat them any old way."
He grabbed a wad of paper towels and carefully put them on the patio, where the beer had been dripping onto it.
"Not even Flo will be able to get that smell out any time soon. It's all in the grout and everything."
He glared at the nozzle before picking it up and pointing it into his own cup.
"Now, look at this and pay attention. You have to hold it at an angle like this."
He tilted the nozzle.
"Press the button on the side. If you push it in the middle, it spews out everywhere. And when you're done, make sure it's in the ice. Got it?" "Good. I've got to go back there and straighten out those 2 knuckleheads on encroachment versus offsides."
He rolled his eyes up to the darkening sky and shook his head just a little. The sun rode low on the horizon, and there was maybe another half hour left of light. This was always my favourite time of day, when it wasn't still daytime, but wasn't quite night either. I felt mellow and I took a deep breath. The patio smelt like beer, like alcohol, like death. I shuddered. As Steve filled his cup, I thought about the dead man we'd found last summer and wondered how much beer it would take to get falling down drunk. The snarky part of me didn't care. I would drink as much as I felt like drinking, especially if it made me forget about Candace looking all uber hot at the prom with some knuckle dragger from the football squad tomorrow night. I caught a flicker of movement out of the corner of my eye, and I snapped my head around to see what it was. Nothing there, probably just a bird settling into the shrubbery for the night. I filled my cup and took a sip, and almost spat it back out. It was nasty. I thought of Alka-Seltzer or club soda, only worse, like maybe someone had pissed in it. I would never tell anyone that, though. I took another sip. Still gross. Then another. On the way back inside, I tripped and spilled the whole thing into a potted rose bush.
Hey, watch out! Gonna get some more?
Nah, I think I'll see what's inside. Lance and a guy I didn't know were mixing drinks at the table.
Rum and coke?
Lance asked, looking at my empty cup.
Sure.
Now that went down easy. After the first one, I started to feel loose and a little light-headed. After the second one, everything was hysterically funny, especially me. After the third one, I found I had to think very hard to do anything, especially go to the bathroom. I felt bad for Flo. I wasn't the only one who had missed. I noticed different coloured basketball uniforms on the screen. What time was it anyway? I wanted that giddy, happy feeling back, so I had another rum and coke. This time there was only the vicious dizziness, like the whirl and puke ride at the carnival. The one where you sit in an egg-shaped cage and it spins around so fast you can't even open your eyes. I looked down at my stomach. There was a sharp pain. Had someone stabbed me? No, it was just the rum and cokes lining up to make their exit.
Thanks for coming, guys. Maybe you can stay a little longer next time.
The drinks exploded out of my mouth and nose, all over the expensive living room carpet, my shoes and my pants.
Oh, gross. Dude, get some towels.
I didn't know who was talking. I just had to lie down. I must have fallen asleep. Someone was poking me in the ribs. I opened my eyes and I didn't know where I was for a minute. There was a terrible smell, and I realized it was me.
"Hey, pukehead, get up!" Steve said, prodding me with his shoe again.
My stomach hurt, and I felt like I might hurl again, but I got up. Lance stood in the doorway to the kitchen. A guy in a blue T-shirt was passed out on the couch. I looked back at Lance. "Sorry."
"Yeah, don't worry about it. Flo'll take care of it."
Lance had some really juicy dirt on Flo. I don't know what it was. But she did anything he wanted and never said a word to his parents. Poor Flo. I suddenly felt so sad. Why was I almost blubbering for her? I only met her once, for about 30 seconds.
"You going to make it home?"
Lance asked me. Something in his tone made me think he was probably more concerned about not getting caught than he was for my safety.
"He'll be fine," said Steve.
I grunted as I got up and stumbled towards the door. I never did get a chance to talk to Jared. I just wanted to sleep. Good thing it wasn't far to my house. My legs refused to cooperate with the bike pedals, and I fell twice. Steve just laughed at me. I noticed there was some dude walking on the other side of the street from us. He stopped whenever I fell, like he was following us. It totally creeped me out.
"Steve, who's that guy over there?"
I tipped my head in the direction of our follower.
"What guy?"
"The one in the white shirt." I turned to look at the stranger, but he was gone.
"Never mind," I said. "I guess he went inside."
I got home and brought my bike into the backyard. Somehow, I found my key and opened the back door. Did I mention that Mum was always up? I glanced at the clock on the microwave behind her. 1:37. Crap. I could tell by the way her nostrils flared that she knew exactly what I'd been doing. Confessions of a Troll by Artemis Greenleaf. www.artemisgreenleaf.com. This work is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. If you'd like to leave a comment for Artemis Greenleaf or learn more about the other projects in progress, please go to www.artemisgreenleaf.com.